Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
The Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my exciting co-hosts. We've got, I think, Claude? That's the order, right?
Yeah.
I'm Claude, yeah, hi.
Claude, and we've also got the West Coast, Best Coast, Mark.
Oh, hi.
Or Forrester.
Yeah, it's East Coast, West Coast, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, but yes, we are, of course, the Puckle Podcast, where we talk everything from the video game to trading card game to everything in between. And we're here to talk about some fun stuff today. I thought about you a lot this week, Mark. I am sure you saw before we recorded, I was playing this game about beavers.
Oh, fun. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's called Timberborn. It made me think of you because you do forestry stuff.
Oh, man. Oh, that's... I have opinions about beavers, so that's fun.
Oh, dude. Okay, I don't care. These beavers are like super advanced. Like it's like you're trying to help these beavers survive droughts that happen once a month.
Once a month. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Something like that. The river dries up. It's a big deal. And it's, you just like build a little civilization for them. I don't know. It's like the most laid back city building game I've ever played because I have yet to suffer any consequences.
No alien invasions or anything.
No, like, well, like, my beavers have been hungry and thirsty before, but, like, I don't know if there's, like, a point where they just die from it. I haven't hit that, and I haven't been trying very hard.
Well, that means you're doing something right, then, if they're not actually dying.
Yeah, I don't... okay, so, like, it is a legit question that I have if they can actually die in Timberborn. My friend at work got me into this, and it's really bad.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know if like, the beavers can die. Like, I don't even know.
I mean, well, then what's the point of, like, there are no consequences if the beavers just live through disasters?
It turns out that the beavers can die.
Okay. So you haven't screwed up that bad.
So I haven't screwed up bad enough yet. They've all been thirsty before, though, and I've had to, like, make the comeback from that. So it's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing. But yeah, it's a fun game. That's what I've been doing. I mean, I also played some other things, but I have played some Pokemon, but that's a completely different thing. What have you guys been up to? Anything fun?
I've had a never-ending continuation of people staying at my house for the past, like, 4 weeks. So
exciting.
Yeah. So I haven't gotten a chance to do a lot. Always have to entertain people.
I completely understand. I know that life.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark? Anything cool, exciting, interesting?
Well, the only Pokemon stuff I've done recently was I spent around $300 on Pokemon games.
Wait, what did you buy?
So, okay.
So did you buy one copy of Black 2?
I'm gonna tell you the games, and you're going to tell me which game you think was expensive.
I can tell you. I probably know.
Yeah, same.
Okay, I bought a copy of X.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I bought some stuff from the eShop before it closed.
Yep.
I bought White 2.
Okay, so that's an expensive one. Done.
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyways, that's it, basically.
That's the $200 game right there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very pricey, but I've been playing it and enjoying it, but, you know.
No, White 2 and Black 2, I think, are some of the best in the series.
I did this past week, is in my free time, I played through, I think, White 2 again.
Yeah, I think they're some of the best in the series. I think it was at the time of the Pokemon formula, like, really rolling, and they were, I don't know, like, the way the game's developed, right? They usually go, when they start a generation, they immediately start on the next generation after it's released, right? And I think they saw the reception to Black and White, which was not super positive. And they just hard turned and were just like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And they went and they made this, they made X and Y. But in between that, we got Black and White 2, which I think actually, I mean, it redeemed a lot of Gen 5's failings.
I think so. I think they're distinct enough as different games.
Yeah.
At least from what I've seen so far. Yeah, that I think
they
it's
are
a,
very.
They are very different, yes.
They stand alone.
Now, here is my hot take after playing, you know, all of the games recently. I think it is the most fleshed out of all of the games and has the best way to play.
I don't disagree with you, actually, at all.
And I'm speaking entirely of challenge mode. And only of challenge mode.
I think the amount of content, period, in Black and White 2 is very high. I think it is, like you said, very fleshed out in terms of content, in terms of things you can do. I mean, there's a lot. I remember when it came out, I got stupid into Join Avenue. Like, oh, yeah. I was super addicted to that.
I loved the tournament. What was it?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, the world tournament was very good as well.
Because I can't tell you how many hours I spent in Emerald playing the Pokemon Dome, like in the Battle Frontier, just because it was a tournament setting. And I loved that idea of, oh, I can see what they're going to do. I should bring these people this time.
Yep.
And I thought it was the coolest thing in the whole world. And the amount of hours I've logged into that one battle facility is nuts.
I think the whole Battle Frontier was very good. I mean, obviously they didn't make it for the masses. They made it for people like us, and we're not the general population. Yes. But
I am 100% the general population. What are you talking about?
I wish we were the general population, and we'd still be getting Battle Frontiers. Because
it wasn't quite my thing, but I understand the appeal.
Yeah. No. I like the Battle Frontier as post-game content because it makes you think, and it makes you think in weird ways. I think the problem with the Battle Frontier and the way it was originally instituted is that there's no ramp for that learning curve. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like, if you're just playing Pokemon and you haven't studied it like we have, there's no way, like, playing the game that you're going to be like, oh, I can handle the Battle Frontier and do really well.
Nope. Well, certain parts of it you can.
Yes.
The Battle Factory you can learn.
Yes, I agree with that, but that's about it. Like, I think the rest of it becomes very difficult and you can't optimize properly unless you're EV training and breeding properly.
So the first part of it, no. So they purposely put two levels of everything. To get the silver medals, you can go in with like a post-game team and do pretty okay. To actually get gold and everything, it requires a lot of work.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think that's kind of what's unfair. I don't know, like, I want to play the Emerald Battle Frontier, but with like modern conveniences. You know what I mean?
Such as?
Well, okay, so in Emerald, because breeding's like way different in Emerald than it is in any other game right now. Like, if you look at Gen 3 breeding, it is not a fun time. You aren't passing down, like, any IVs from the parents. You can get the natures. That was the game that where they introduced, Emerald specifically, was the game where they introduced the Everstone for the natures. And that's it. That's it. That's all you're getting. And so I would have really liked to have a game where you can, I mean, even with just bottle caps now, just being able to take a team and, like, build it real quick so I can go do Battle Frontier stuff, I would love that.
So sounds like you just need a copy of Emerald that is in the post game that you can just PK Hex into and...
No. You are correct. I can do that, but I would love to do it now with the new Pokemon. I don't know. Like, I think we could have, like, modern Battle Frontier with new facilities because they kind of do that a little bit occasionally. They give us new stuff. Like, if you look at the Isle of Armor, we got that cool quote-unquote facility where you had to, like, monotype it.
Yeah,
which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And I would love new facility ideas like that to pop up from time to time and give us more challenges like that in game. I think right now they're almost there too. Cause like they gave us the Isle of Armor, for example, which kind of made everything easier in terms of customizing your Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is the time to introduce battle facilities, and maybe they're going to do it in the DLC. Like, maybe that's what DLC 2 is all about.
That's what my hopes are. It's my hope is for the DLC.
Like, DLC 2 does have like those four trainers that we just don't know anything about in the artwork. And maybe they're like essentially Frontier brains. Like, this generation could be nutsos if they're just like, hey, here's the equivalent of of DLC.
Everything you've been asking for. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, no, no.
I mean, why would you hold your breath for anything for Game Freak to give us that we want?
Yeah, I mean, after this... Yeah.
Pokemon Conquest 2!
Pokemon... Okay, Pokemon Conquest is a clunky mess. That is my hot take.
Alright, so the fun part is I do have a ROM hack of the game that made it a lot more fun and difficult.
It's okay. Just very clunky. I don't think the game's difficulty is an issue. I think it's just very clunky.
I don't think it's difficult if you know what you're doing. But that's just because I know all the mechanics.
Yeah, because there was one game made.
Claude is barging in charge.
There's one game made. I think Conquest is a fun idea. I just don't think that its implementation in retrospect is very good considering like newer Fire Emblem.
That's fine.
That's my only hot take.
Okay.
I mean, I enjoy Conquest as much as the next person, and I would love to see something like that reiterated upon, but it needs an iteration. Like, it needs a refresh.
Well, I'm tired of Mystery Dungeon. I'd rather see Conquest than Mystery Dungeon.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, that might be the next thing. I mean, you never know.
I would love new spin-off.
They love Mystery Dungeon, and they're going to milk that for so much more than anything else.
I think they just have a better relationship with Chunsoft.
That's also probably it. You know what I miss? I miss OG Rumble.
Kind of. I can understand, like, the audience for that. I don't know. I feel like we just came from a time, and I guess we'll talk about it later today, but we came from a time when, like, there was just, like, a bloat of spin-off games, and we got a lot of good ones in there. I mean, I think there were a lot of garbage ones in there, too.
Oh, true.
Like, looking at you, Pokemon Dash, but...
I was gonna say, look at you, my Pokemon Ranch.
I'm not as mad about my Pokemon Ranch, considering its predecessor, but...
Fair.
considering its predecessor, I think it was better. But yes, stuff like that.
But I think that's what Pokemon is currently missing, is... I think of all these older generations where it's like, all right, we have these main games, but there were always like, you know, we'd have the 3 years of the main game, but there'd always be like an extra side game they'd throw out in the middle of it that kept things different.
We kind of got that with Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, Snap came back.
Okay, we got Pokemon Snap.
Yep.
But like, I'm thinking like in between Gen 3 and, you know, Gen 4.
You don't, are you telling me you don't appreciate Pokemon Cafe Remix?
No, I don't. I'm a Cafe Remix hater, I'm sorry.
Aren't we all?
But, like, I think of, like, the things that, like, we used to have. And I'm like, all right, like, you had Pokemon Mystery Dungeon that came out with Gen 3. You had Pokemon Colosseum and Gale of Darkness.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon came out with a lot of things other than Gen 3.
Yeah, but it started in Gen 3, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, we did have a lot of things. Yeah, we can certainly talk about that later.
Let's go before I rant on forever.
Yes, I know you. All right, so we're going to wrap up here before Claude goes crazy, and we're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. We've got a few things in the news, and I'll let Mark kick it off.
Yeah, so Scarlet and Violet, the latest 7-star raid is Ice Inteleon, not to be confused with Glaceon. It likes to spam Blizzard, but it's ultimately pretty weak to a lot of Pokemon only having Snipe Shot, Blizzard, Dark Pulse, and Tearful Look as its standard moves.
Wow. Also,
what does Tearful Look do?
Tearful Look.
I don't
Great
know,
question. I feel like familiar. Tearful Look in Pokemon is one of those new moves, right? That's a Gen 8.
It is.
I'm thinking Fake Tears, which
no,
is respectful.
It's a Gen 8 move, not even a Gen 9 move. It exists in Gen 8. Wow.
Is this move? I'm sorry. It must be a move Sobble got because he cried all the time.
Actually, yes. It was in Gen 7, actually. Sudowoodo, Bonsly, and Wishy Washy got it.
Gudra has it.
Tearful Look. Yeah, it lowers the opponent's attack and special attack one stage. And it also it also has no accuracy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's its niche.
It's like a Leer and a Growl combined.
Fun.
There we go. Ta-da!
Yeah.
The Global Challenge 3 signups are live in Scarlet and Violet. It starts May 5th, and if you participate, you get an Ultra Ball backpack.
Wow.
Yep. Also in Pokemon Unite, Chandelure released this past week.
Cool.
If you still play Pokemon Unite, there you go. And I'll let Claude go now in Pokemon Go.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we have Go news. All right, let's see how fast
that's
I can
most of the news, actually. Go ahead.
Is it really? Oh, my gosh. Yes. All right. The Instinctive a Hero event runs May 2nd to May 8th. The event focuses on hatching eggs, boosting shiny odds from hatching, adding Larvesta to the game as a possibility Pokestop egg. And Pokemon like Mr. Mime, like Mime Jr. and Timber will also be available in 7K eggs. Yay. I know that's what everyone cared about and was excited about.
Sure. Mark's turn.
Yes.
There's more.
Embrace the loot box.
Saturday, May 6th will be a raid day for Kleavor.
Ooh.
You can get 5 free raid passes from gyms and use up to 10 remote passes. How kind.
Yeah, because they put a limit on that. That's so nice of them.
I didn't realize they put a limit on that.
Yeah, they put a limit on it, so it's only 5 a day or something. Which
I'm never going to have that many at a time anyways.
Okay, so like for normal people, it's not an issue. I think the people that were making the biggest think about it, and this is probably why it hasn't been successful in like Champion against Niantic, is because it only really hurts people who are like content creators for Pokemon Go and like the really like grindy players that are remote raiding all of the time.
I'm assuming because you'd have to be paying, because there's no way you're grinding that from just like in-game coins.
No, in-game you only get like 1 a week for free.
But I mean like even just buying them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, buying them, they're like $5 for 3 or something like that. They raised the price a little bit too, but
right,
it's still like $5 for 3. And I mean, I don't know, like I'm not a power user for Pokemon Go when I do play, so it doesn't really bother me. And even then, like, when I do play, I only play when it is actually nice enough for me to go play outside. So I don't mind, like, if they're like, oh, you have to go actually walk to the raid instead of remote raid now. Like, I don't mind, you know?
No, that's totally fair. Sometimes I don't want to leave my house, so.
No, I totally get that, too. But I don't know if you're going to want to raid 5 times a day.
Dude, I don't make, like I said, I don't generate that many, like, coins on a regular basis in the game to like, and I don't put any money or real money towards it.
Oh, so no.
I don't.
There's no way you would be doing it anyway if you're generating game coins. Like, there's just no way
you'd have to be paying like how much money a day just to do that.
You'd have to spend something like $20 a day to break this, I think. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's fine. GoFest dates were released this week in Osaka and London. They are going to be August 4th to 6th. In New York, it's going to be August 18th to 20th. Globally, it's going to be the 26th and 27th of August. Cost is $15, and purchasing it before July 5th gets you a timed research in June. Wait, how does that work? Oh, I guess it's in June. Okay, sure. Yeah. Words are hard. All right, Claude, I'm going to let you finish with this TCG news.
Sure. As official English previews have begun for Paldea Evolved, we now know that our August set will be called Obsidian Flames.
Isn't that exciting? Because there's a Dark-type Charizard, so...
Oh, I was going to say, like, what's the catch here?
Yeah, the first two sets, they're doing Terrestrialization, where the Pokemon just terrestrializes into its own type. And then we're pretty sure that, like, by the third set, they're going to be like, now they can be different types! Ooh!
Yep.
And that's going to be, and welcome to the new TCG. Delta species will be everywhere, because I'm sure they won't, I'm sure they can't hold themselves back and they'll make the Charizard, like, decent.
Yes, and while we're on TCG, the Puckle TCG tournament signups are only live for a little bit longer.
Yes, true. I signed up.
So,
I'm excited.
Sign up. It'll be, you know, same format as we usually do. 5 rounds of Swiss, everyone with 3 wins or better moves on to top cut.
Yay.
It's our standard tournament format. It's going to be fun. Best of 3. Have a good time.
Yep. Absolutely. Puckle's Pokey prediction now. Only 3 starters for 7-star raids. Chestnut, Delphox, and Rillaboom. What types do you think we'll see them get, and who will be next? There's only 3 starters left in the game code. That's what he's trying to say. Okay.
Yeah. So the next one I'm guessing is going to be Rillaboom, and I think it's just going to be Terragrass.
No, it's not going to be Rillaboom, because we're doing Inteleon now. It's going to be Chestnut and Delphox.
Is that the order they've gone in?
Well, they haven't doubled up like generations, right? Because Cinderace was like back in January.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And then we got like Greninja after that, and then we got, I mean, then they did like all the Hisuian starters, and now we're on Inteleon. Okay. I mean, I would love if it is Rillaboom. If Rillaboom's the next one, I think Pokemon Home will be right after that.
I think it's going to be Rillaboom, and I'm predicting it's going to be Grass.
I will explain why.
Why is that the thing?
Well, I think one of two things, Mark. Either they're going to finish out all three of them, and then we get Pokemon Home, because then it makes it exciting, and people want to go get them. Or they finish out the Gen 8 starters, they call it a day, and then we get the we get Home, and the DLC will be soon after, and in the DLC is when we get, you know, Delphox and Chestnut and Greninja.
Wait, I thought the DLC was until fall.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's in the fall.
Yep. Okay. So okay,
that's when we get them like officially. Like they're in the DLC, kind of like how like Bulbasaur and Squirtle were in Isle of Armor.
Mm, okay.
Which they will be again anyway. I also kind of expect like a game. I wouldn't be surprised if there was an actual game update to Sword and Shield when Pokemon came out, or Pokemon Home came out, and we added in Squirtle and Bulbasaur.
Oh, yeah.
They're not in the code, which is very confusing to me why they just didn't put them in.
Yeah, they knew they were going to release them eventually.
I mean, they are in like the hidden Pokedex entries for like the DLC, so that's not super surprising, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I could see like Rillaboom coming out and Rillaboom being like rock or ground type or something.
Oh, I could see it being electric type because it's in a band.
What electric move does it get though?
It doesn't get an electric move though. It does get like Stomping Tantrum or something, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, so I figured ground would be reasonable.
I think it's gonna be a grass.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
I think they'll be boring and grass.
They haven't been boring yet.
What was Cinderace?
Cinderace was fighting because it was high jump kicking you in the face all the time.
I don't know. I have very little opinion on this, to be completely honest, because I have just given up on raids.
Dude, the raids are fun though. They cleaned them up a lot in the last update, so.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm missing because I'm so done with them.
It was so bad with how well it would, like, it's a good idea in just letting you just click the buttons and not have to wait for people. But the problem was they had a lot of issues where like the things would stack so inefficiently that you just wouldn't be able to play for 2 minutes anyway.
Yep.
Which I think defeats the purpose of like everybody attacking at once. Especially against the big 7-star raids, but I think they've cleaned it up since then. At least when I was like doing some of the more recent ones, it didn't feel that way.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it again. I don't know. It's been several months since I've touched the game, to be completely honest.
I completely understand.
Yeah, I want to go back, but I just have not had the time.
I completely understand. Well, all right. That is going to be it for the news. We are going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to the trivia. We are going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. You did the introduction, so we appreciate that. We're going to go ahead, though, and we're going to ask you your first question today. Your first question is going to come to you from British Gent, and boy, is he on a manga kick. Manga time. Pokemon used to show off and tease the next gen of Pokemon at the end of the current series. In Pokemon Adventures Gold and Silver, which Pokemon was teased first in the manga?
Oh, no, I haven't gotten this far.
I don't know anything about the manga.
I will tell you, it is one of the first Gen 3 Pokemon that was also teased in the anime.
Blaziken.
What was teased in Gen 3?
I think Blaziken was the first one.
Blaziken? Okay.
That's just, I don't know.
I will.
I know Gen 4.
Yeah, this is a big blind spot for me. I'll if you think it's Blaziken, I have no
idea. I don't. I'm trying to think of.
Well, what was it in the anime? Was that what was teased in the anime?
It could have also been Azuro as a possibility.
Okay.
Because I know Munchlax is Gen 4. Munchlax or Bond 3 was Gen 4. I don't know anything about Gen 3, though.
Gen 3. Yeah, not a clue.
I'm going to need an answer.
My mind would say either Blaziken or Azuril are the two that come to my mind.
Azuril isn't...
No, but like... Gen 2 had Meryl and Azumarill. And if I remember correctly, Gold or Silver had one of the two of them. Right?
Okay, and what Meryl was that to Gen 3?
Partner of Lyra.
Okay, well...
So right, that's my guess for why it could be that, but I also don't know why I'm thinking Blaziken and remember Blaziken from the anime. But I could be wrong.
Well, I'm just going to say Blaziken.
All right, Blaziken it is. Let's go.
Blaziken is unfortunately incorrect. The correct answer is Kecleon.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the first Gen 3 Pokemon shown in the anime as well. There's an entire episode called... it was the first one, actually. It was an episode called The Kecleon Caper, where they're on some kind of blimp. And these two Kecleon are running around. It also introduced a purple Kecleon in the episode. And Kecleon could just never be purple.
Oh, the same one that's in Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah, the Mystery Dungeon one was purple too. I think there was a point during the development that they thought Kecleon might be different colors. And then they just never followed through with that.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. It would have been better if they would have just made that Kecleon shiny, but they just didn't. All right. Well, that is 0-1, unfortunately. Your next question... is going to come to you from the Once and Future Gamer.
Okay.
Some moves have secondary effects. Like when you use Thunderbolt, you have a 10% chance to paralyze your opponent. There is a move that has another secondary effect that is the only one that has up to a 70% chance of the secondary effect occurring without anything added to it like Serene Grace. What move is that?
That has a 70% chance? 70%.
Of the secondary effect occurring.
Oh, gosh. What would this be?
I will say that
oh,
it...
Oh,
go ahead, Claude.
Oh, no. Yeah. I saw this recently when I was going through Showdown moves. Fried Nuggets.
This is an electric type move.
Electric? What would be an electric move that has that?
It affects the user with its secondary effect.
User. Oh, like Charge Beam?
Is Charge Beam 70% or is it 50?
I have no idea.
Ooh, but you're right. That could be it, though. It has to be Charge Beam. That's the only move that does anything.
Yeah. I don't even go with Charge Beam.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Sure.
Charge Beam is correct.
Oh.
It has the chance to increase the user special attack by one stage.
70%, though. Wow. I didn't realize
that. Yeah. All right. This next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. It is from G. McPee.
Ugh. This guy again.
Its Pokemon Y entry reads, this Pokemon lives in caves and in volcanoes. The fire within the tuft on its head can reach 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Who's that Pokemon?
Okay, so it lives in volcanoes.
It has a tuft on its head?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I have to now think of every fire type Pokemon.
In which generation is that? Sorry, which?
Pokemon Y, so generation
Pokemon
6.
Why?
Okay. So we know it's only up to a certain point.
Okay.
It could be Vulpix or Ninetales.
They
don't
live in volcanoes.
So you find one in a volcano in Legends Arceus. It may not be that. It's just you can find it in a volcano.
So there's certain Mons that are like, that's like their thing is they're in volcanoes. So quite a few do live in volcanoes.
Could also be like a Hisuian, Growlithe.
In Gen 6?
Oh, Pokemon Y, yeah.
Pokemon Y.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I will stop you from answering something stupid, like, I don't, like Turtonator.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why my mind goes to, Vulpix and Ninetales, or specifically Vulpix, but,
I was thinking more like a Camerupt.
Doesn't have a tuft on its head, though.
I feel like there's some fur there, right? But I don't think the tuft is special.
I guess it could. If you want to, we can go that route.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, the other one I was thinking of would be like Magmar, but I don't know if you'd call the thing on its head a tuft.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't call it a tuft, but yeah.
I don't know. You want to? Well, we have two chances here. You want to just do do you want to do Vulpix or Ninetales?
I would do Ninetales.
Ninetales. Okay.
Why not?
Yes, Ninetales it is.
Ninetales is unfortunately incorrect. I'm going to have to give you the next entry. This is from...
Sure.
It shares the same entry in Pokemon Black and White 2. Okay. I tried to find you another entry, but these are the only entries that exist. Or, like, they get cut in half and, like, shoved. Like, it's all the same things. Like, I'm going to give you all of the information we have in-game about this Pokemon. It says, very intelligent. It roasts berries before eating them. It likes to help people.
What?
Oh, wow.
It lives in volcanoes, super helpful. Roast berries.
Yeah. The other entries from Black and White, when it is angered, the temperature of the tuft on its head reaches 600 degrees Fahrenheit. It uses its tuft to roast berries. From Pokemon White, this Pokemon lives in caves and volcanoes. With the fire within the tuft on its head can reach 600 degrees Fahrenheit.
I love it when they just recycle the same ones.
They've literally just recycled all of them. There is no difference.
What this tells us, this Pokemon sucks.
Oh, it does.
The tuft on its head.
It does. Okay.
Nothing.
Because
is
why else would it have such a poor selection of Pokedex entries? If no.
All right. If it sucks, then it has to be Simisear.
Ooh.
Oh, that's the only option.
Okay. Actually, I support this. Yeah.
Well, Simisear does have the Gluttony ability, which is. Let's eat berries faster, so let's go with it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Simisear is technically correct. It is Pansear specifically.
Okay, fine.
But
cool.
I will accept Simisear as an answer. It is one of the Pokemon that's like just not coming back. It hasn't, like, it's one of like the seven that's missing after everything.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. But yes, Pansear is gone. Is the answer. That is 2 for 3. Your next question is going to be worth up to, you know what, I'll be generous today, up to 4 points.
Wow.
Okay. There are 10 answers to this question.
Oh.
I will give you a point for each one you list without going over your 3 strikes. This is from Right on Rocks. What 10 Pokemon have a base stat total of under 200?
Under 200.
Okay. I have to just put my mind in that mindset and I can figure this out. So we have to start with thinking about all of the babies. Because the babies usually have, you know, the lowest stat total.
You do have to lock these in, by the way, and yeah, we'll go with that.
So my mind, I know for a fact, Sunkern is there, because Sunkern is always joked about having the lowest.
Sunkern granted, is correct.
It's that actually second lowest to solo form Wishiwashi.
That is also correct. Okay. That is two of them.
The single fish is there. I know Azurill is there because we talked about it so much earlier that I know it's there and know it's at the bottom.
That is there. That is 3. You only need one more. I don't need you to give me all 7 that you're missing, but.
Then there's a whole bunch of bugs.
Like Caterpie, would that be that low?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably there. I think Caterpie and Weedle are both there.
Are you going to lock those in?
Yeah, let's lock them in.
Those are both correct. Caterpie and Weedle. That gives you 5. Okay. That gives you 5.
All right, well, let me see if I can do this, though.
Okay.
I think Snom is in there.
Snom is in there, yes.
Is Blipbug and Wurmple also in there?
Blipbug and Wurmple are also there. You are only missing 2 now, sir.
Oh, gosh. Okay. There are 2 more bugs. Or there's at least one more. That's all I can think of for the bugs. Is Magikarp in there or no?
No, Magikarp's not there. That's your first strike.
Okay. What's less than Magikarp? I thought Magikarp was 200.
I think Magikarp speed's base 90, so I think that's a problem.
Yeah, but its base stat total is 200, I think.
Well, we're asking for Pokemon under 200.
I know. Oh, okay. Then that's my problem. What's as weak as a Magikarp?
Feebas, maybe?
No, Feebas is also 200 with Magikarp. Oh, okay. They're basically the same stats.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, gosh, this is killing me. Gen 4 bug. Krikatot.
Krikatot is there. Ooh. You have one more.
Yeah.
Crud. What else is...
You don't have to get it. You got all the points.
No, this is for pride now. What else is garbage weak? And the fun part is all the 200 like base stat mons are either were designed to be super weak in that generation or just very early in the first couple gens. I don't think Wimpod is there. Is Wimpod in it?
Nope, that's your second strike.
Dang it. I can't figure out the last one. Mark, throw out a guess.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know, Pichu? But I feel like Pichu probably has over 200.
I think it does, too. Snap. I'm going to kick myself for not knowing this, too.
Krikatot, yeah. I think you mentioned that one already.
Would Shedinja be under there?
Ooh.
Shedinja. Is that what you're locking in?
Because it has the 1 HP.
I'm going to need an answer here. I'm not going to let you keep wasting time on a question you've already got all the points on.
I would guess Shedinja then.
Shedinja's incorrect. Shedinja's is like 232 or 236.
So what's the last one?
The last one is Ralts.
What?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one is Ralts.
Dang.
Peachy's at 205.
Closer than I thought.
Yeah. Close. All right. Well, you guys got four there. That gives you a total of 6 for 4. We're going to ask you your base stat question as always, as your last question.
What's the lowest water type base stat total Pokemon?
This is from Snackard. What not fully evolved steel type Pokemon has the lowest special attack?
Okay, so not fully evolved.
Steel type, lowest special attack.
Alolan Sandshrew.
Yeah. Do you lock that in?
I think it's like 10.
Sure.
Alolan Sandshrew is correct.
No, nice.
With a base stat of 10.
Okay.
10.
Bronzor and Ferroseed are next with 24, and then Tinkatink with 34.
I had no idea. My only thought was, all right, I think it's... I knew the Sandslash line has piss.
Yep.
Special.
You are correct. That gives you guys 7 points. Let me add that all in. It's going to change.
Not so bad.
You guys recovered pretty well because I gave you 4 points on the question that Claude knocked out of the park.
Yeah.
I take no responsibility.
I was very generous.
We appreciate it.
All right. In first place, we've got Whimsicott with 24. In second place, we've got Linnean with 22. In third, we've got Shark with 19. In fourth, Sublime with 17. In fifth, a tie between Claude and Mark at 15. In seventh place, we've got Seth Bilo with 14. In eighth, Jushiro with 13. Ninth, Basket and our Sigma are tied with 12. And in 11th, we got Dr. Shamu with 5. It's whoever hits 40
Wait,
first.
15? Oh, it's 40. Dang, nabbit. If it was 30 again, I'm like, all right, if I get an 8 and a 7, I can make my way to 30 in the next 2 weeks. And-
nope. It's 40 to make you think. To make you think. Can't do it in 4 episodes anymore, Claude.
Darn. There goes my chances.
All right. So we're going to end it here, guys. If you want more Pucko's Poke Quiz, be sure to tune in next week. But until then, we're kicking it on over to the topic. We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener, the first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be our Pokemon journey, starring Claude and Mark. Maybe just Claude, depending on how much we let him talk.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. The way this is going to work, we're just going to have these guys tell their story. Tell us about significant things from their Pokemon past and what they can remember. If you like this episode, of course... Go ahead and let us know. We appreciate it. But Claude, go ahead. Tell us, where did it start? How did it go? Let's start there.
Sure. So picture this. It is the year 1999, Christmas morning.
Okay.
Little Claude wakes up, you know, unwraps his presents, and happens to get the Costco bundle.
There's a Costco bundle?
There was a Costco bundle.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Of a, like, the Pokemon, like, the Game Boy Color.
Okay.
And Pokemon Red.
Okay, follow-up question. Ooh. Follow-up question.
Yes.
What color Game Boy Color?
It was, like, the purple, like, see-through kind of,
oh,
like,
the atomic
clear.
Purple?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Chef's yeah. kiss. Yes.
Yeah, it was the right color.
Yeah, chef's kiss.
Granted, I had no choice in this. I didn't even ask for this.
Yeah,
for
yeah, Christmas. Yeah. It just- no, obviously, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just got it.
I just got it at the age of, you know, 4. But comes out, I get it. You know, like, not being able to read as well as I wanted to. You know, it took me a little while to figure out what to do. I spent the first couple of days doing nothing but battling Pidgeys and Rattatas with my Bulbasaur until it evolved into an Ivysaur because I didn't know any better.
Yeah, no, I understand this. Continue.
Fast forward a couple of weeks, and I'm battling Brock with a Venusaur.
Couple of weeks? Okay, understandable. Understand. I understand.
I was having so much fun just battling Pokemon.
I understand.
That I didn't care or try to progress the game because one, I didn't know how to.
Claude, I gotta stop you here.
Yep.
Did you only have Venusaur? Or did you catch anything?
Yes.
Okay, so to be fair, I did not, as a child, understand how to catch Pokemon for a very hot minute either. So
now, this is the thing. With Red, Blue, and Yellow, I didn't realize that if you put Pokemon on the PC, you can get them out. I thought if you put them in there, they were gone forever. So, I played through the game with a Venusaur. I remember catching a Drowsy. I had an Oddish as well. And I think that's all I can really remember. And I dreaded having to put things in the PC and having to, you know, because I thought you couldn't get them out. this is Little Claude doing this. And I eventually learned, all right, it's time for me to restart the game and play it multiple times. I eventually got so good at playing Red, Blue, and Yellow that I could do the entire game. I think I still can by sound alone.
I
knew where I was, every single, like, bump of the map, every trainer, what I was facing, where all my moves were, when things leveled up. It was nuts. Because at one point, my parents would always be like, all right, you can't play, you know, anymore. And yet, like, so I would...
It's a skill developed out of necessity. That's what I'm hearing.
So I would take my Game Boy, I'd put it under my pillow at night, I would turn on the volume a little bit so I could hear it through my pillow... And as I'm sleeping, I would play through a part of the game. And, like, you know, lights out. Because back then, the Game Boy didn't have any lights in it, so you couldn't
see
anyways.
Unless you had the cool worm light.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I remember that thing.
You know, I didn't want my parents to find out. So I ended up memorizing the entirety of Red, Blue, and Yellow. Or it was just Red and Blue. And I was able to play through the entire game by, you know, sound alone. And I think when they remade it in, like, Fire Red, Leaf Green... My friend's like, oh, I'm at this point. I'm like, oh, you're fighting this trainer. This trainer has this and this. And they'd be like, how do you know that? I'm like, oh, I just do.
Deep in your subconscious.
It started a, you know, love of Pokemon because, you know, that's how things go. Now we fast forward up probably until high school when for me it was Diamond and Pearl came out.
Did Diamond and Pearl come out for you in high school?
Maybe.
Because it came out for me in high school.
Yeah, it came out for me. Maybe I was in college.
You're like, because Mark's a couple of years ahead of me. I think I'm a couple of years ahead of you.
Yes. Was it not 2008 or 2009?
No, it Platinum came out in 2009.
Okay, then I'm thinking of that.
2007 was when Diamond and Pearl came out.
So I'm thinking more of Platinum then. So when Platinum came out, I got...
The better version, yes.
I got really into the competitive scene and... I was watching YouTube videos constantly, and I, you know, had a short career as a Pokemon YouTube battler. I've hidden all of my videos because they are cringe.
Really?
Yeah. I think I posted a couple on Facebook, too, which is...
What was the name?
Cloud9.
Oh, that's where it came from? I thought it came from... No, it came from Smash, though, right?
Yes. So, you know, backtrack a year or two... My friends were all like, all right, we're going to make our own Smash team, and we need to come up with names. And in Smash Bros. Brawl, you can only have a 5-letter character name. So I did Cloud9 as I play on Cloud9. And I went to go try and get that YouTube channel, and that was taken. So I had to add Cloud9, Cloud9 to the end of it, and that became my tag for a lot of it.
Okay.
So I had a small thing there. I beat the Killer Nacho in his own tournament, which was really exciting. I think it was a mono color tournament back in Gen 4, and I remember doing so much prep with my friends, and it was, I had a blast. I did very well, too. Didn't win, but did well.
I remember these days. If you continue, yeah.
Gen 5 came around. I think I played some big name YouTuber, Wise, something like that.
I don't remember something. Them.
There was some name player that was big, and he beat me in Gen 5. And because we're playing with, you know, hacked mons at the time, and, you know, I had so much fun playing in tournaments because I had a Gen 4 team and I would go into tournaments and play online and I just wouldn't lose. And granted, if I look back, I think half a couple of those mons are banned now. Mainly Latios, I think, or Latias, or one of the two.
Gen 4 ended up banning like every dragon that wasn't Dragonite very slowly.
Pretty much. Yep. And I think I was running like triple dragon.
Yeah.
Because that was a strategy and it just won me matches. So fast forward then to towards college where I kind of fell off for a while and then, you know, I got Black and White 2 and played that on my own time over the course of like a year. I don't think I ever finished Black and White 2 then. I think I got like halfway through it and stopped.
Sad.
Oh, at the time, I was just so busy.
I understand.
With other things, and I didn't have a close group of friends that was playing it up until X and Y. And X and Y came around, and I didn't get X and Y on release, which is like criminal for me.
Oof.
But there was like our game society at my college. One of the guys who was my year, this is my sophomore year, was like, hey, I was like, oh, I'm the best Pokemon player here. Like, last year it wasn't even a challenge. No one can beat me. And I literally turned around in my seat and I'm like, I will absolutely crush you into the ground at, like, if we did this, like, in for real. And it's like, he's like, I don't even think it'll be a challenge. And I'm like, okay, when is this tournament? It's in 2 weeks. Let's go. Go out. I buy Pokemon X, I think it was. No, it was Y. Yeah, it was Y. Played through the entire game. Or I think I already had Y, but I played through the whole game, built a team. I laddered up to like 1700 on Showdown with it. Built this team, went to the tournament, and pub stomped every single person that was there.
I think X and Y, I think Gen 6 meta is still my favorite meta of all time.
And this was Gen 6 pre-bank.
Yeah, Gen 6 pre-bank and Gen 6 post-bank, I think, is still my favorite meta of all time.
So I proceeded to do that, claim dominance, and then just never go back. So from there, I just played competitive. I played with my friends. Like, I eventually found other people that played the games. We would just play casually with each other. We never, you know, got super competitive. I'd play on Showdown. And then it wasn't until, you know, I eventually found Draft League with Magnitude that I got, you know, really back into Pokemon again, and it wasn't until after college when I was bored at work looking for things to listen to that I found Puckle, and here we are now.
Nice. Wow.
That I'm just everything up to Puckle is what I told.
I think that's fair because I know your story post Puckle.
Yeah, you should at this point.
Origin stories.
I can go into specific details and stories and stuff, but I figured that's a good enough place to stop.
That's a good place to stop that's for great. Now because we gotta let Mark have a chance. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Mark, how did it all start for you? What was like a defining moment? Like, when did you get Pokemon? When did you see it?
Oh, man. Well, so for me, it was the beginning. It was, you know, being a kid in the 90s and, you know, you're being hit with fads that you don't understand.
Yep.
But you consume anyways. I'm thinking like Tamagotchis, and later on it was Furbies and, you know, Beanie Babies.
For the record, I understood none of them other than BB Babies of the ones you listed. Like, I remember Tamagotchis being real hot.
Tamagotchis, yeah.
They're still around.
I remember them being really hot. I just never understood the idea of a Tamagotchi.
Oh, they're just like, it's so stupid, but it's, you know.
I know what they are. I just never like got, even when I was a kid, I was like, this isn't fun.
Yeah, right. You keep them alive for like a week and then it's like, all right.
I remember one Christmas my parents got us Furbies and I didn't know why. Because like we all got one, like my cousin, my brother and myself, we all got a Furby and I had no, like, I didn't understand why, because I didn't want one. Like, I remember it was like the it toy to get. And so I guess like as a kid, I should have been like, oh, I'm so lucky my parents gave me like the it toy, but I just did not care.
Yeah, I think we found ways to destroy our Furbies over time, and really that was where the fun came from it. But
I think so.
I was scared of the Furby after a while.
Yeah. Anyways, for me, you know, it was one of those things, you know, especially when the cards came around and people, like, everybody played, like, not everybody played the game, but everybody had the Pokemon cards.
I remember that. Oh my gosh.
And like everybody. And so, you know, it was one of those things that you just, it was this phenomenon that just happened. And it was like, okay, I remember getting Red and playing that game, you know, from start to finish. I got 150, completed the game. And I really loved it. And I really liked the other aspect of it was the internet, which was around this time when people really started, like the internet was really taking hold in society, right?
I do remember.
And
that,
so yeah. there were so many rumors because of Mew. And one of the things I did at the time was I started, you know, reading, going on AOL and reading, you know, web, you know, 1.0 websites. There was like really like GeoCity type websites or whatever else they were. And like,
I miss proto internet.
Going down rabbit holes, looking at guest books and forums and all kinds of weird stuff. And eventually I came across a web hosting service and I created my own Pokemon website. Of course, it was full of false information, like just full of it, like just fake tips on how to get Mew. Because, you know, missing number was the other one, right? Missing. No,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody had missing. No. And, you know, I had, oh, this is the other thing. My original team, the very first Pokemon I caught was a Rattata and I named it Fang. And I kept that Rattata the entire game, got it to level 100, beefed it out with everything that I could. And I had this like uber Rattata. And that was like my signature Pokemon Gen 1. So
how unterrifying.
That was.
You were the original youngster, Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. I loved Rattata and that Rattata especially, like I even brought over to Gen 2 when that came out. But I remember like getting involved in the politics and the fighting that would happen in these like website ring, you know, groups and
okay. You need to explain that. Like what fighting was happening. Okay. Please continue. I am enthralled right now. I love internet history.
Here is one that I personally did. This is my first like real internet win as like, I don't know how old I was, like 8, 9.
Okay.
So, you know, I was making websites and thinking I knew what I was doing and like messing around with HTML. And somebody created I forget what the name of the website was, but there was a Pokemon website where the main way to interact with each other, it wasn't like, you know, not everybody had forums or message boards, but they had the guest books, right?
Yes.
And the guest books were super active. And that was how people communicated, like as casual users. It was so toxic of a place, right? That they ended up having a poll on like, okay, should we shut down our guest book? And I was like, I hate this guest book. I hate all these people on here. They're all a bunch of the words I can't say on this podcast. And so I spent an entire day, because you could vote as many times as you wanted.
Oh my gosh.
And I spent the entire day just downvoting this thousands of times. And eventually, like, this was like I forget the name of the website, but it was one of the biggest Pokemon websites there was at the time, and like fan websites. And they shut down their only way of communication because I decided I didn't like the people who
because
were on
some
there.
Child hated them.
Yeah, exactly. So that was what I did. That was one example.
Well, you assume it was just you. Maybe a lot of people hated it though.
Oh, no. I watched it happen in real time because I was clicking and refreshing this. I knew that I was the one who nuked that message board. And I made it so it was 99% no and 1% yes. So there was like 0% chance of them, you know, arguing otherwise. I loved Gen 2. After that, though, I kind of stopped playing. When Gen 4 came out, I mean, yeah, I think everybody kind of goes through that, right? You just kind of stop.
I wish I would have. I wish I would have.
Well, except for you.
Dude, I'm a broken person in so many ways.
Well, you know, like my next interaction with Pokemon came from Gen 4, like when I was starting to go into college, and people who I was friends with never really talked about Pokemon or anything. And we picked up, I picked up Platinum, and we ended up, they had some like little cartridge reader thing he got from China. And we ended up learning how to hack Pokemon. And that was the thing.
Oh, like the action replay.
It's probably something more akin to like the Flash Boys and stuff, I would imagine.
It was something that allowed you to basically go in and edit the game. I don't remember. I still have mine. It's here somewhere in my house.
Because I remember having the Game Shark.
It wasn't a Game Shark.
Action replays existed at that time, but there were other things. Like there's more sophisticated toolage that existed.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, but we edited all. So I like... I was like, man, I missed like two generations here. So I learned, you know, learning about all the Pokemon, and I genned a ton of stuff. And I remember being at the time a summer camp counselor, and a couple of my volunteers were playing Pokemon, like, you know, they're kids, like teenagers. And they were like, oh man, you know, I'm so tough, I'm so cool. And I was like, ah, I'm going to fight you guys. With my, and little did they know, I had these like totally illegal, like hacked Pokemon. I just stomped them into the ground. But then I didn't, the other thing of note from there was, in college, I was in an experimental band, and we recorded an audio track of us talking, and we were going to like play it backwards over a guitar if it was going to be artsy, right? And we, and one of the things they went around and asked everybody as part of this conversation we had was, what's your favorite Pokemon? I remember thinking at the time, like, man, I haven't thought about this. I have no idea. And I said Skarmory. And they just totally chewed me out for that.
Why? Skarmory is a perfectly cool Pokemon.
I think so too. I love it. But they didn't think so. They're like, oh, it's hard to catch. Anyways, that was like
that's even a better defense for why it's cool.
I know. When I re-picked it back up, I was living in Washington State in a cabin in the foothills of the mountains. I remembered for some reason that Pokemon existed because I had no internet. By the way, I just want to say, like, I've lived the tiny cabin in the woods life. And I know it seems very romantic to people, but I will tell you right now, it is not. Some aspects of it are good, but it really just kind of, it's very isolating. My experience in the cabin in the woods thing was not fun. But I did totally end up, because I didn't even have internet or anything, but I did totally go into town and I bought a DS and I bought a game. I bought a Pokemon Y. And then I bought one of the Oras ones. I think it was Alpha Sapphire. And I got reintroduced to Pokemon all over again. And from there, I kind of fell off again because I ended up playing the games pretty hard. I beat both of them. And then I played Alola a little bit and dropped off until the pandemic. And that's when I started having to make a long distance drive. And that's when I got reintroduced to Puckle. But right around that time was also when I started dipping my toes back into Pokemon a little bit. And I think for me at that time, the thing that changed the way how I approached it was more of a collecting standpoint, where I wasn't looking at it just from one game, but like Bank really changed the way I looked at interacting with the franchise, if that makes any sense.
Dude, Bank is the most exciting thing in the entire world.
It was. I mean, So I was like, wait a minute, I can have a collection that's beyond just what can exist in one game.
I said it before on the show, but I really like the way that Home's kind of shaping up to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's definitely the way that Home is being implemented kind of softens the blow of Dexit a little bit in that.
It does.
In that everything can go everywhere currently.
Right.
Like, if a Pokemon is in BDSP, Arceus, and Sword and Shield, so I mean Gyarados, and I don't think any other Pokemon. It can go to all of them, which is, I think, super cool.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens when it gets connected with Scarlet and Violet. But
that's the curiosity. Like, will we be able to take a...
can you take things back?
Can you take a Vespiquen?
Through gems?
Because that's it's in all of these games for some reason. And move it around. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. But anyways, that was kind of the gist of it for me. Like I said, I think for me, it was a big part of it was... through the years, sort of the interaction with early internet and really just sort of finding ways to cheese the game in a lot of ways. Like, I didn't really learn a lot of the, how to breed really, or like how to breed well, for instance, I picked up the game when I was living in the cabin again. That was, I had touched the game several times before then, but like didn't really ever interact with it on that level. So I don't know. So here I am now, but I think it's just been a thing, probably the only real constant franchise for me over the years, which is kind of weird to think about because, I mean, at the time, in the 90s, nobody really thought that it would stick around at all.
Yeah, they thought it was the Tamagotchi, then it was going to be gone in 2 years.
Yeah, well, because then you also had, like, Digimon, right?
Yeah.
Came out around that time.
Yeah, but Digimon wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't, but in the people's minds it was.
To the outside observer, I think it seemed like it was the same thing. And to people who actually understood, like us, obviously, it's not the same.
No, yeah.
Right?
It was different, but it was similar enough.
Yes.
I think to an outside viewer, but yeah. Same with like a Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh is kind of the same way. My favorite memory about Yu-Gi-Oh! And like a criticism towards it was I was at like some church function, and we were like waiting in line for something to happen, and some lady was complaining to her friend about how her husband like got upset that her kid was just watching a show where they play card games. And the mom had like the best clap back to the dad. She goes, "You watch poker. You can't say anything."
Literally the same.
That's great. That's actually wonderful.
I'm just like, wow, that is a clapback. Wow. That's my like number one memory about that. I'm like, that's really good. That's really good rationalization to like letting a kid watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just being like, yeah, you watch poker, it's the same thing.
That's great.
Because that's not untrue, I guess, to some extent.
So, Claude, I have to ask, which is your favorite gen and why, then?
Yeah, yeah.
I like different gens for different reasons. I grew up, I think the gen that I played the most of was probably Gen 2, just because I loved the game and I wanted to play it as much as possible.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
When Gold and Silver came out, that was my, like, I loved both those games. Tracking down the dogs was so much fun. And, even with the remakes with Heart Gold and Silver, I put a lot of hours into those. I also put a lot of hours into Gen 4. As far as my favorite generation, like, my favorite moments are in different generations. Like, if it's just based on the Pokemon themselves, this is tough.
Here, let me put it this way. Let me give you my example and to how I would frame it.
Yeah, what's your answer though, Mark? Like, that's also a good question.
For me, like, the one that if I pick it up and I play it, I immediately feel like, you know, and I understand like nostalgia is a big part of the franchise, but like for me, the one that really like captures like an emotional space for me and other games don't is Gen 2, where similarly, the Gen 4 remakes. Like I play that, I picked up that game and it feels like home. You know what I mean?
Yes. If I'm going to pick up like a game and play through it again, it's only ever Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Okay.
Like that's the only like main series game that, and now Black and White too, cause I really enjoy Black and White too right now. But that I go back to over and over again and like, all right, it's time for me to play through this game again and I'll just play through it. And I understand like the grinding sucks. But I don't care.
Oh, yeah. It's, oh, man. Like, see, and for me, you know, I played through it, Gen 2 originally with, like, the last stuff. Like, I just imported my Mons that were all, like, level 100 from Red.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, like, the final battles, it was, like, no big deal. I'm just like, hey, man, I'm just going to curb stomp all of you.
Yeah, that Raticate did a lot of work.
Dude, Rattata, Fang the Rattata, man. I, you know, and it makes me...
Wait, he was a Rattata. He never evolved. He was never Raticate?
No, never evolved it.
Oh, no. This is worse than I thought, Mark.
Yep. Yeah, I had the original there.
No, granted, every time I go back and play it, I only play through Johto. I don't go through all of the Kanto stuff.
You don't go through the endgame?
I don't go through Kanto anymore, usually.
No.
I feel like I need to again, but like...
Dude, that was the thing that changed the game for me in a way, like coming from Gen 1 to Gen 2, was that you had a post game and the post game was the previous game. Like you're revisiting it. Like that was so cool.
I have bad memories getting stuck, not being able to get Misty to show up and being pissed about it.
You didn't find Misty?
The first time I played through it, no. You had to also find the missing piece that was in her gym that you had to fish for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, to unlock the power plant where she was or did something. Like, there was stuff that, like, young, tiny me didn't want to read through the text.
I can understand that.
No, that's understandable. That's fair.
And Gen 2 gave me for it, so.
Yeah. Oh, hey, yeah. There you go.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm still stuck on Fang.
Yeah.
And so follow-up question.
Okay.
Follow-up question. Does Alolan Rattata evoke any emotional response from you?
No.
Okay. I was just curious because I'm just like, they gave him a mustache. So
they did. I tried to embrace it because I was like, oh, this is great. But then I was like, I don't know. There's something about the dark type Alolan forms that just, they don't do anything for me.
I love how up until very recently, like we would get a lot of just like dark type Alolans. We're just like, normal types? Are these dark types? Yeah, they're dark types now.
Yeah, yeah.
They felt very unimaginative. I can kind of understand, like, based on Let's Go Pikachu, why they did it. Because they wanted to introduce, like, dark type to Gen 1.
Right.
And that's how they did it. I mean, they kind of did it with Steel as well, with the Alolan Sandslash.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember playing through Let's Go and being like, oh man, we have fairy type now. It'd be really cool to have a steel type. And they're just like, yeah, here's your Alolan Sandshrew, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Thank you.
So I have a question for both of you, because I want to know. So one thing in Gen 1, I had a Mew. Did either of you have a Mew?
Yes.
I did, but it wasn't. Well, I guess the glitch wasn't found for like 10 years, right? So
yeah.
10 or 15, something like that. It was a crazy long time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like I had a Game Shark as a kid, you know?
Okay.
And you go type in your like crazy hex code.
I was curious. Well, yeah, what about you, Claude? How did you get the Mew?
I remember doing the Missing No glitch.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I learned that there was a glitch with Missing No that lets you find any Pokemon you want. And I used that.
Yeah, that does exist. That does exist.
Okay, yeah.
So like, I think it's something like that where it's like, there's a way to like fight a specific thing in a specific way, and it guarantees you any Pokemon you want will show up like on the wall. And there's a way to make it beat Mew.
Okay.
That's how I remember doing it. I could entirely be wrong.
No. That sounds right.
Well, I don't remember that one being on my website, so I don't know.
Only ideas on Mark's website are the real ways to do it.
Like the press start when you're fighting a certain trainer and teleport away, and then go up the Nugget Bridge, and a Mew will spawn after like 7 steps. And
yeah, that's how it works. Duh.
Yeah, okay. That's how it works.
Yep.
Totally not overturning a truck.
Oh, sorry. I mean, let me rephrase that. I mean, you have to not leave the SSN and get cut from a trade friend, so that way you can
go to the truck,
continue the game, and then come back and surf under the.
Oh, I went to the truck.
The truck, yeah.
I tried that one.
The truck is such a bait. They shouldn't have put it there. They should have ripped it out of the game.
They're just asking for a rumor about it.
I honestly think that a lot of Pokemon success hinges on the fact that it existed like in the prenatal internet.
Yes. Yeah.
They had Mew. Like, it was the combination of the two things.
It was Missing Number and Mew were the two things that like people like.
Well, Missing No is literally just an oversight in their bad programming.
No, but people used it as this way, like, oh my god, there's like this whole other hidden thing to the game.
Every time anybody talks about a Pokemon game being like a glitchy mess, I'm like, do you just not remember why it's popular? Like,
right? All the stuff that just didn't work?
Yeah, all of the broken thing. Like, I think most of Pokemon was us all discovering ways to break the game.
So that was the best part about BDSP until they patched.
Yes. No, no, ooh, no, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so true, though. The same thing happened with like Gen 2. Like, there was all that cloning you could do in Gen 2 very easily.
You can still do it with the original games.
Yeah, with the... I had a ton of Entei's.
Yep.
There's so many ways to break that game. It's insane. It's so easy to actually start with all three starters. It's insane.
Because I remember, what's it called? You know, back when BDSP came out recently, the best part was watching the speedrunners go through it because they found all these stupid bugs and were you would sleep for the night, come back, and the world record would be broken by like 30 minutes. And it's like, what did you do?
Yeah. It was a good time. It was a good time. These have been good stories.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed them. Oh, thank you for sharing. I think this is a good place to wrap up, though. Of course, if you want to email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com for next week and let us know what your personal Pokemon journey is, man, do I look forward to reading those.
Yeah, and there will be more. This topic will come back in the future whenever there's...
Yeah, we're definitely going to bring this back, I think, just to have the other co-hosts tell their stories. So I'm very happy and excited to do that. So definitely send in your emails. I would love to read them, and we're going to have to like find a way to like publish them somewhere. One of Thatch's jobs
like a website?
Is to fix. Yeah, that's actually like one of Thatch's jobs this month is to fix the website because it needs to be done before July.
Finally.
Why?
Because Puckle Plus won't be on a feed. It needs to go somewhere to archive it on the internet. So that's what we're going to do. Puckle Plus and PTU go off the feeds.
Oh.
And so we're going to put the back catalog on the website. So definitely look out for that. And probably a lot of old episodes, too, of like the regular show will just go off the feed.
Aww.
But no, not disappear forever. They'll just be on the website.
Same thing.
I'm going to make people work a little harder for episode 1 of the Puckle Podcast.
Oh, that's too bad. That's such a great episode.
Stop it, Mark.
I really enjoyed episode one.
There's literally a warning at the beginning of it that says, please don't listen to it yet.
But you know what? I will say this. One time early on when I was listening, I had a road trip, like a 2-hour road trip I had to go do.
I'm so sorry.
And I just threw on those early episodes and laughed the entire
way. As you should.
Way.
As you should.
It was perfect.
As you should. I wouldn't say they're like super cringy, but they are definitely,
they're something.
They are something. They're like unintentionally funny. You know?
Yep. I would agree.
You know, it's not cringy. I don't see them as cringy, but I definitely see them as just like, yep, that's a kid being a kid.
Yep.
Yep. But all right. Yes. So email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know your Pokemon journey. We're going to go ahead and kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
Welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 214, Heracross, the single horn Pokemon.
Its Soul Silver entry states, it is usually docile, but it is disturbed while sipping honey. It chases off the intruder with its horn.
Heracross is a cool Pokemon, and it had a Mega, which was kind of cool.
It did.
To be fair, like Mega Heracross is actually like one of the worst Megas. In terms of like design, I don't think it's as cool.
Design, sure.
I think it's fine.
That's the problem. Like, I don't want it to seem fine. I want it to seem cool. Like, I think regular Heracross looks better than Mega Heracross.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So like, the transformation from like Heracross to Mega Heracross, this is going to be like a real blow to 90s kids. Or like maybe like I'm going to connect some neurons that 90 kids didn't realize were disconnected. But it reminds me of the Beetleborgs.
Oh my gosh.
When they became a Beetleborg, like he becomes his Beetleborg form when he Mega evolves. because it's such a bulky suit. It just looks silly.
Yeah. My God, big bad Beetleborgs.
Yeah. Big bad Beetleborgs, man. That's where it's at. We're going to go ahead, but Heracross base 500 total, great Pokemon, base 125 attack. That's great. Base 95 special defense, 85 speed isn't terrible either. Like it's a 85 is a decent speed tier.
Good starter.
And then base defense is a little low, 75, not too bad. Special attack 40. You weren't going to use it anyway.
No.
And then base 80 HP, which is okay. That's fine. Heracross is just a fantastic Pokemon though in that regards. And also bug fighting for a very long time. It was the only bug fighting type until we got Buzzwole and Pheromosa.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the only one with it right now in Scarlet and Violet because,
No, it's not.
Who got it? Oh my gosh.
It's on this team.
Is it? I'm not looking at the team.
You're talking about the Pokemon too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Slitherwing. That's right. Slitherwing. I always forget Slitherwing exists because like, I think Iron Bug, whatever it is better. What is the future Volcarona?
Iron Moth.
Iron Moth. That's it. I remember the past Paradox Forms names, but I never remember the future Paradox Forms names because their names are all just Iron something.
Yeah, just Iron whatever.
And at least like my brain doesn't trigger as those being the Pokemon names, just like a code name, kind of like the Ultra Beast had. So it doesn't like shove it into my memory like it does everything else. Like I remember Slitherwing, I remember Screamtail, I remember all of those guys.
See, I don't remember any of the old codes for the Ultra Beasts.
I know, that's why I don't remember the Iron Pokemon, right? Like that's why I just don't remember. Like I know Walking Wake, but it takes me a minute to remember Iron Leaves.
Walking Wake is an old one, not a new one.
Yeah, I know. I remember, that's what I'm saying. Like I only remember the old ones. I like those are in my memory because I can go, those are Pokemon names. I would really love for the way I imagine it is that these Pokemon were created by some desire of the professor and that the code names became their names because they never existed to have real names. That's my in-head lore right now. My head canon. But I'm going to be proven wrong like by this December, so we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But yeah, Heracross, decent Pokemon. I'm glad he made the cut for Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah.
He is one of my favorites. The only thing that I really dislike is we were talking about like Pokemon being so nostalgia based. And I remember I was playing Silver or Crystal or something recently. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go get a Heracross. Like I'm going to take the time and just like grind out a Heracross. And so like I grinded out a Heracross. Man, Gen 2 move pools are just garbage.
They really are.
Doesn't like not get a single fighting type move?
I am pretty sure it does not.
Gen 2 level up. Oh, it gets counter reversal.
Counter does not count. Like it was.
Reversal count?
I will kind of count reversal. I mean, even then, like its bug type move pool doesn't exist either because bug type moves.
It's Mega Horn.
Yeah, yeah, as Mega Horn.
Yeah, but like, what level does he learn that at? Like
54.
Yeah. Okay, so you know you're Gen 2 is not a kind game. Gen 2 is not
You get Fury Cutter. Fury Cutter after Gen
Fury.
After
Fury
gen.
Cutter is certainly something.
with a power of 10 and an accuracy of 95.
It's certainly something. Oh man.
You're better off getting hidden power.
I don't know. Like Gen 1 and 2 move pools are pretty bad. I'm going to make the argument that Gen 3s aren't much better, but they're better.
I think they're quite a bit better.
I think they're more coherent.
They're definitely better. Like, Linian posted a thing in the Discord server today that I like 1000% agree with. And it was just like the reaction of Game Freak and their thought process for each game. And like Gen 1 was like, hey, let's make a fun RPG. Gen 2 is, hey, let's make a sequel to that like really great selling RPG we made. And then Gen 3 was like, oh man, we've made a monster. We've got to keep this going. How do we keep this going? And that was Gen 3. And then Gen 4 was, okay, we've established the Pokemon formula. And then Gen 5 was, hey, let's reboot the soft reboot the Pokemon formula, right? And then Gen 6 was like, oh no. Fix the problem. Do something safe. And then Gen 7, we've reestablished our baseline. What can we do to change up the formula a little bit safely? And then Gen 8 was, oh, we're going to go full home console. Wait, you're telling us we only have 4 months? And then Gen 9 is, oh, we're going to take all that stuff we learned from Sword and Shield to make a Pokemon game. Oh, wait, we only have 4 months? And I agree with all of that.
So back to the Poke of the episode.
Yes, the Poke of the episode. We do have a team.
It's here.
We do have a team.
This team this week is for monotype. It's a mono bug team. To increase diversity of things. Just so people are aware, things that are banned in monotype at the moment are Terra. You can't Terra outside of your type. Booster Energy is banned. The Dolphin is banned. Houndstone is banned, Annihilate is banned, Chiyu is banned, and Iron Bundle is banned. Everything else is pretty much fair game.
And this is a bug-type Terra team, not a fighting-type Terra team.
Yes.
Or not, mono-type team. It is late, and I'm talkative, and it is just a great day. Okay, but yes, Heracross is the Pokemon of the episode. Take it away, guys, and I'll do my part when you tell me it is my turn.
Okay. Mark starts off with the man himself.
Yeah, Heracross. So we got Heracross with a Choice Scarf, Moxie. It's got 252 attack for special defense, 252 speed, Jolly Nature. Attacks are Mega Horn, Stone Edge, Close Combat, and Earthquake. So
decent coverage.
Yeah, you know.
Heracross is the Choice Scarf user of the team, a good revenge killer with its ability Moxie to get attack boost after claiming a kill. Stone Edge Quake is, you know, Edge Quake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yep.
And then next we have Scissor. It's got a metal coat. Ability is Technician, of course. 40 HP, 252 attack, 216 speed. You got Adamant Nature with Swords Dance, Bullet Punch, Trailblaze, and Close Combat.
The 216 speed is for Rotom Wash. Generic good bug type sweeper. Trailblaze is super useful.
I love that it's holding metal coat. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
All right. We also have a Fortress on the team with heavy duty boots. 252 HP, 252 defense, 4 special defense, relaxed nature, 0 speed IVs. We have Stealth Rock, Rapid Spin, Volt Switch, and Gyro Ball. Your standard team removal, Hazard Setter, Remover, and Momentum.
Yeah.
And apparently the Gyro Ball is very good against Qian Pao's Fluttermanes and Dragapults.
I can believe that, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Then we have another offensive team, because this team is just incredibly offensive, with low kicks. Takes on an all out offensive role. On this with a life orb, ability tinted lens, 252 attack, 252 speed, 4 special defense, jolly nature, first impression, sucker punch, throat chop, U-turn, life orb, does lots of damage, hits things incredibly hard. Yeah. You can also use axe kick if you so desire, but not on the team.
Yeah. And then taking it home, we've got the Pokemon I forgot about, Slitherwing, holding a choice band, because that's good. Protosynthesis, the ability, doesn't matter though, really. 252 attack, 252 speed, 4 special defense, adamant. First impression, again, so you can just kind of hit hard real quick if you need to. I appreciate teams with like slight my priority options, because sometimes that's exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Close combat for stab, flare blitz because you can, and earthquake because earthquake's always good.
Yeah.
And then you've got Volcarona wearing heavy duty boots.
The one special attacker on the team.
Yeah, it is the only special attacker on this team. Flame body. It's got 252 special attack, 252 speed, timid nature because you're going to go fast with your quiver dance. Giga Drain. This has an option for fire blast / flamethrower. I think it's just your comfort level. My gut still says fire blast as a Pokemon player. And then psychic for coverage. So definitely, yeah, this is a team for sure. I haven't played it. I usually play it. We're recording early this week and I did not get the chance to play it like I usually do. So hopefully it's good. If not, if you're a patron, you get this team this week. So be sure to watch out for it. We're going to be distributing this team on our Patreon. But yeah, this is the Pokemon of the episode. Tune in next week for more of those. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails! Mail!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and we will maybe read it on the show. We really appreciate it. Our last episode, we asked you to tell us what your top 5 and bottom 5 grass types were, and you guys did deliver. We're very excited for that. We are going to go ahead and read a few of those emails. Of course, this segment is always brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. But without further ado, our first email this week is going to come to you from Sleeve, and Mark is going to read this one.
So, Sleeve says, Hi everyone. Oh, hi Sleeve. I'm usually way too Northern Hemisphere centric with my greetings and feel like I've been neglecting Liger. I hope you've been having a nice Southern Hemisphere autumn. Regarding the last episode, I want to say I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Actually, that's a lie. I'm both. When I saw the Bulbasaur line get the first spot in the top 5, I was full of optimism. I was thinking, okay, here we go. Go-Goat will be next. How wrong I was. Not only did you not pick Go-Goat for your top 5 list, you didn't mention it at all. I'm hurt.
What? They didn't talk about Go-Goat?
No.
Claude, it's only 25 minutes. Okay, there's only so many Pokemon you can talk about.
What was the list? Can we get a recap of what the list were so I know how upset I need to be?
I don't want to, because I don't want this to last.
Fine, go.
Okay. But then surely Sawbuck will make the list? I would have thought so, but alas, no. So Go-Goat, the undisputed king of Kalos, and Sawbuck, the original Horn Leech user, both missed out. On a serious note, the bottom 5 list was pretty solid, and the top 5 was full of good picks, but leaving 2 of my all-time favorites out made me need a cup of tea to calm down. I'll just say that there are an awful lot of excellent grass types, and that was the reason for these egregious omissions. Anyways, thanks for all the great content. Peace and love, Sleeve. Oh, and he says top 5 are Bulbasaur, Go-Goat, Sawbuck, Trevenant, and Breloom. I actually love all of those. Bottom 5, Quilladin, Carnivine, Simisage, Lurantis, and Tsareena.
I think Tsareena's old, but that's the only one.
I don't like Tsareena.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Sleeve. Our next one is going to be from Zay Paladin, and Claude's got this one.
What to do, Puckle Crew? It's been a minute since I last wrote in. Hope everyone is doing good. I'll just get right to the meat and potatoes of this week's topic. However, I will list the worst grass types first because I'm a cool contrarian. Here's the grass types that, in my opinion, should have been weeded out. Good pun. One, Dalith. This Pokemon just feels too different from the other two members of its line. The Dal portion isn't really built upon in Arbaliva or shown in Smaug at all. I get it, Dalith's the weak link. Yes. Shinnatic. It's a creepier Amoongus, and it shouldn't be. Those soulless eyes are cursed. Leafeon. This is arguably the most controversial Pokemon on this list purely because of it being an evolution. Sadly, it's just a very bland design for a grass type, and the shiny is just terrible.
The shiny is terrible, but like...
Wrong and wrong. Both totally wrong.
The shiny is terrible, but Leafeon's a great grass type.
Yeah, I think Leafeon's fine. Like, it's just fine.
Hear
like,
me out, though. Okay, so the shiny, I think, is perfect. And here's why.
Is it brown?
No, it's blue.
It makes everything more darker green and a darker brown instead of the light tan.
Oh.
Like the leaves are dying, right? Like in autumn.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
No. Not that they're dying. That it's more vivid.
Let me look at this.
I think it makes the colors more vivid, and I like that better than the original.
Let me look this up.
Okay. Yeah, we need to figure this out.
Yeah, I need to look at Leafeon.
It has darker green. It has darker darker brown.
Shiny Leafeon is what color? Is it just darker green? I don't like it. I can't tell.
Oh, actually, Shiny Leafeon is garbage. I lied.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm on Team Claude.
No, you're both wrong.
It's completely garbage.
I'm on Team Claude.
Which is Team Z Paladin, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Leafeon's a great Pokemon otherwise, so, I mean, yes, the shiny is terrible, but Leafeon's wonderful. Sunflora. I'm surprised this one isn't a part bug type. The stats are garbage across the board. So, Sunflora is amazing. How dare you disrespect my Sunflower.
It's okay.
The Exeggutor line. These two Pokemon have one of the worst secondary types to be paired with grass. While Darkrai's arguably is bad, it has... least immunity to psychic moves and prankster moves, # shift tree gang. I have no opinion on Exeggutor. It's just there.
Yeah, it's whatever.
All right.
I'm not a huge fan, but I don't hate it.
With the pruning out of the way, let's go over the cream of the crop. Toadscruel. I wanted a regional for Tentacruel for so long, and I finally got one in Paldea. Being a variant of my favorite Pokemon had me nervous with how the design would look, but I think it looks fantastic and is one of the best new shinies in Gen 8, Gen 9. Yes, it's a phenomenal shiny.
Yes, it is.
I could go on, but I've already said plenty in the discords over the month there. Ferrothorn. This spiky boy was the mascot of my draft league team last year and has had a lot of history with my reintroduction of Pokemon in Gen 7. It also shares a type with my favorite type in the game, too. No, Ferrothorn is trash. You should feel bad about liking Ferrothorn. Yeah.
Okay, like, I don't disagree, though. Like...
I don't like Ferrothorn.
I don't like it. I don't like it as a grass type at all.
It's a steel type. It's not a grass type in my mind. It's way too passive.
It is a steel type. Yep.
I agree.
It's too passive for everything I like to do. Turtwig. Yes. Great choice. This was and remains my favorite starter for every Gen 4 playthrough. I love Turtwig's personality in the anime and imagine mine to be as tough and as scrappy as Ash's. Turtwig is the best grass starter, hands down. I said it.
Keep reading the list and then I'll disagree with you.
Okay. Shiftry. Shiftry is a classic edgy design that I fell in love with when I first picked up Emerald way back when. Fun fact, under the sun, Shiftry is the fastest fake out user in the game thanks to Chlorophyll.
That is a very odd fact.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it's possible. I think if you put a Choice Scarf on it too, it's the fastest fake out user in the game.
I think if you're Choice Scarfed in the sun and you're faking out with Shiftry with Chlorophyll, you've done something wrong.
Or something completely right.
Something's wrong there.
And then he goes, Treecko line. Every member of this line is fantastic. What else is there to say?
Treecko's better than Turtwig. I like Turtwig a lot, but I think Treecko's better.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think it's Turtwig, and then it goes Rowlet.
I'm with you, Thatch.
I think Treecko's better. Like, I wanted to nominate Treecko last week on the episode, but we already had Ivysaur there, and I didn't want it just to be, like, a list of cool starters.
But Treecko is better than Ivysaur.
Yeah, Treecko is better than Ivysaur.
Like, that's not even a question.
The problem is you didn't have Bayleaf on the list, who is the best second form of any starter.
I'm just not going to start that conversation, Claude.
It's fine.
Look, we're not going to have last week's episode, right?
Yeah, we're not redoing this episode.
As much as I would love that, we're not going to do that.
All right, just move on to the next one before I go for it, then.
This one was so controversial that Claude really thought about having Grass Types Part 2, so...
I wanted to be on that episode, so I'm really sad I didn't get to.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
I like grass type.
I think everybody wanted to be on the grass type episode. Like, everybody wanted to be on that one. I ripped the Band-Aid off. You can have ice instead.
I was already pissed I missed poison.
You can be ice instead.
Ooh, I don't know.
Is it just... That list is only cast form, Hale.
All right, we'll finish the email.
I didn't.
We did. Never mind. All right. We've got one more today. It is going to be from Gigasaurus Games. Hello, Puckle Crew. Originally, I wasn't sure that I was going to write in this week, but because it's in general, grass is not a type that I have strong opinions about. And then you insulted Tropius.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not going to be a psycho who thinks that it should be in everybody's top five, even though it is my favorite grass type, because I recognize that it is very much my brand to like fossils and fossil-related Pokemon. Incidentally, throw Cradily in my top five as well, because I like the unusual design. I also recognize that Alolan Exeggutor does the joke better, but Tropius doesn't deserve enough hate to be in consideration for bottom five. First of all, the flying banana dinosaur is just a strange design that it deserves a laugh. Secondly, similar to Alolan Exeggutor, its design perfectly captures the wet, tropical nature of its home region, and it did so more than a decade earlier. Third, it is actually surprisingly good in random battles on Pokemon Showdown.
Yes, it is.
Seeing it stall an opposing team to death with Leech Seed and Harvest honestly never gets old.
That is ridiculous.
To round out the stats, I also nominate Shaymin Landform for top 5 because it is really cute, and I nominate Cacturne for bottom 5 because of Harley and because I just personally don't like its design.
Hey, that's fair.
Cacturne, yes.
Thanks for all the work you do to put together a great show every week, and I hope you have a great Sauropod-filled week. Gigasaurus Game.
Claude, how can you be so wrong?
Wait, what?
Shaymin is great.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Shaymin.
I think it's great. I don't think it's top five, though.
I would probably put it top five.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's still way better than Zarude as a mythical, so...
Whoa, 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 oh, yes. Whoa.
Yes,
we're not doing this now. Let's move on before I start throwing hands.
We're going to throw hands.
You know what, Claude, we'll have a bonus episode, you and me.
Bonus episode, Claude and Mark give their top five grass and bottom five.
We just argue about grass types for an hour.
Yeah, that's a Patreon exclusive right there.
Just you wait. We'll finish all the types, and it'll be, all right, we're going to go through the top five Pokemon of all time, according to these two people.
We're going to have to figure out what to do when we're done with all the types. I have a lot of ideas. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Top five special attackers.
No. It's going to be way better. It's going to be way better than that. All right. Well, thank you for these emails, guys. Did any of these stand out to you guys? I kind of like Sleeve's, actually.
Don't they all have the green?
I mean, I agree with Sleeve 100%.
Yeah, I agree with Sleeve.
I mean, I love Go-Goat and Sawsbuck, so...
Tragic that it was missed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really bad.
He corrected our wrong.
Yeah, he gets it for that. Yep.
Yes.
He corrected our wrong. So, Sleeve...
So, I'll pick Sleeve.
Yeah, Sleeve. Just for Go-Goat.
Sleeve gets it.
Yeah, just for Go-Goat.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. All right, if you want to,
I do like Tropius.
If you want to email us next week with your Pokemon journey, please do it. PokoPodcast@gmail.com, and we will go ahead and give you get a chance to read it on the show. If not, we're going to find a way to get it on the website when it doesn't look like trash. Until then, though, if you want to hang out with us, you can always hang out with us at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, go ahead and follow us over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can go ahead and follow us. Follow us on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/PucklePodcast and twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I think we might go back to Twitch because I want to start doing a global Nuzlocke. I guess we called it a Whimsilocke, but I don't think people understand what that is anymore because it's been years.
Yeah.
But I really want to do a Nuzlocke where you can't repeat Pokemon, where I'm going to go through gens like 1 through 7, but you can't reuse any of the same Pokemon. Like Dupe's Claws exist throughout the whole thing.
1 through 7, 1 through 9.
I do not believe that you can properly play a Nuzlocke in Generation 9.
I think you are not trying hard enough.
I do not want to do the thing where I close my eyes and just run into the field.
Oh, no. You randomly number generate it. You take all the items.
I do not want to do that. I feel like that's too much work. I would just rather have the game do the work for me.
You just put all the Pokemon in a number generator and you click a random button and it tells you what you have to catch.
That is literally more work than... literally everything else, Claude.
Yeah, but that's how you...
Claude, I'm not having this discussion right now.
Okay.
But yeah, that is going to be coming up on Twitch/YouTube here in the near future. You can join in and help nickname those Pokemon and hang out and have a good time. Of course, you can also support the show in a couple different ways. One, you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout and get 5% off. It helps support the show if you do that, if you want your trading cards, just like Thatch does. You can also go ahead and check out our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where we do cool Patreon hangouts like we just did before we recorded the show. Well, it was really fun. We got to sit down and play Jackbox with a bunch of the patrons. We also want to add and we do Pokemon distributions, and maybe soon we'll get some of those Patreon exclusive episodes out. I really want to do some stuff with the co-host and have a good time. Claude and Mark's episode, you can go over there where they yell about grass type.
Yeah.
All right though, guys. Other than that, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Claude 9.
And I'm Mark.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.